if we're using in part the Rabbanu Lator to prepare ourselves for the Yontif, it would be, it is absolutely critical that we see a Ramban, the last Ramban in Parshas Bo. Earlier this week we had a chance to see Ramban in Parshas Emor, who defines Mikra Kodesh, which gave us an introduction to the concept of Yom Tov in general. Now I want to take a look specifically at the content of Pesach, at the content of Yetzias Mitzrayim, and at the notion of mitzvos that remind us of that. And there's a very famous Ramban, literally a very famous Ramban, literally one of the most famous of all the passages in Ramban on the Torah, is the last Ramban in Parshas Bo. Bo forms the laning for several of the days of Pesach, and that's because, of course, Bo tells of Makas Bechoros and Karban Pesach and Yetzias Mitzrayim. And the end of Parshas Bo, the last two paragraphs in Parshas Bo, are the first two of the four Parshas of Tefillin. Kadesh and V'hayiki Yaviyacha. And Tefillin appear in Parshas Bo at the end of a series, and as part of a series of different mitzvahs that remind us of Yetzias Mitzrayim, different adios. Obviously, we have a number of mitzvahs that are coming up for us next week. The mitzvahs that apply on Pesach of matzah and maror and karban Pesach, we should be zocha soon to makor of karban Pesach befall, not just to talk about it, and see Yetzias Mitzrayim, and as well as mitzvahs that apply throughout the year, tefillin, pidyon haben, and so forth. I want to take a look first at what the Ramban writes near the beginning of this. It's a very long piece. So we'll first see a few lines of what he says about tefillin, and then we're going to skip deeper into his conversation about Yetzias Mitzrayim and the mitzvahs of Yetzias Mitzrayim in general. So here, Perek Yud Gimel, Pasuk Tes Zayin, he begins by talking about the word Ulatotafos, trying to figure out what that word means. Whether it means a speech, or whether it means a head ornament, because totafos is always used specifically for the shalrosh. So he says, "Ein lamila azos mishpacha yedua ulototafos beinecha." There's no clear family in Hebrew for this word. It's not clear what the shorish, what the three-letter Hebrew shorish is. Bali halashon, some grammarians yachshavu or yachshavu liyachshavu liyachesosa eloshon v'hatef el darom alemoti tof milasi. Dripping, netifa, inyan mushal min vihetifu heharvim asis. Literally, netifa means when a liquid flows or liquid drips. And in this case, we don't mean that the tefillin are liquid, but yomar, we're using metaphorically to speak about the flow of speech. Yomar she ta'ase mi yitzias mitzrayim ayadcha os uveinenecha dibur. Netotafes means dibur. That you're going to make Avitias Mitzrayim a sign on your arm, and speech, you're going to put language on your head. Yizal ketal al shoma'av. So from that pasuk you see, that we'll sometimes talk about language metaphorically, though it's liquid that's flowing from speaker to listener. So he says, it sounds like al derech pshat, it's saying that we're tying words onto our head. Which really, they happen to be just to consider that for a moment. The notion of tefillin as an opportunity to tie ideas to your body, to tie words to your body. It's like an incredible fusion of intellectual and physical. You're taking ideas and you're making them super tangible. You're taking ideas and you're literally tying them onto your body. So that's one approach to what the word totafos means. Aval Rabbo, so that's al derech pshat. Some of the grammarians take that approach. He sends you the footnote to Menachem and to Rashi, Ibn Ezra. Aval Rabbo Seinu Yikru Ad Davra Munach Barosh Totafos. He says, in Mishnaic Hebrew, the word Totafos means something that's on the head. Kamo Sha'amru Lo B'Totafos V'Lo B'San Botim. talking about Mishnayos in Masechta Shabbos, about what you can and cannot wear in terms of decoration, what adornments, what you can and cannot wear on Shabbos. The Mishnayos talk about wearing, whether or not you can wear a totefes. And Rabbi Gemara quotes, "I'm Rabbi Bo, Ezeo totefes, hamakefes me ozen lo ozen," something that goes from ear to ear. And the Ramban says, "Look, behem bali halashon shemidabrim bo yodimoso mehem roi lekablo." They spoke their bali halashon, meaning Chazal, who used that word in the Mishnah, and Rabbi Abohu, who's translating it, they spoke this language. They're not reconstructing what it must be. They're not speculating. It's a living language for them. Mehem roi lekablo. So even though that's Mishnaic Hebrew, which is sometimes, as you know, different than Biblical Hebrew, as the Gemara itself points out, Avodah Zarah Daf Nun Ches, Lashon Torah Luchud, Lashon Chacham Luchud, as there are many differences between Mishnaic Hebrew and Biblical Hebrew, but there's a lot more similarity than difference. So he says that's the leading candidate would be to look at the way the words are used, and the word Totefes in particular is used in Lashon Chazal. Okay, so either it's a headpiece, or it's language, tying language to your head. And how can we say, second question, how can we say totafos and not totefes? Why the plural? You only put on one bias on our head. You don't put on multiple tefillin on your head. V'amar totafos, v'amar totefes, v'avur she'em batim rabim. Because it's one piece with many subparts. Kasher kibalnu tzurasa min ha'avos ha'kedoshim. As is our tradition from earlier generations, Shero Hanavim Vakadmonim Osim Kenan Moshe Rabbeinu, a living legacy of practice of tefillin for over 3,000 years, going back to Moshe Rabbeinu, and we know how we make tefillin. That the Shel Rosh has multiple batim built in. Each of the four parshiyos in the Shel Rosh is on a separate klaf, in a separate compartment within the Shel Rosh. Well, the Shel Yad is a single compartment that has a single klaf with all the four parshiyos in one klaf. So that's why it's called an os on the Yad. Lashon Yachid, but it's called Totafos, not Totefes, on the Rosh, because of the multiple boxes within one box. Okay. That's what the word means. And now the question is, well, what does the mitzvah mean? Hine shorish ha-mitzvah azos, at the very bottom of page Shin Mem Dalet, what's the root idea of this mitzvah? And by the way, here we see he's using the language that his Talmud, or Talmud's Talmud, the Sefer HaChinuch, uses all the time. Sharashi ha-mitzvah. What's the concept behind this mitzvah? What's the idea behind this mitzvah? Shenaniach ksav yitzias mitzrayim al hayad v'al harosh keneged halev v'hamoach shehem mishkenos ha-machshava. The idea is to take a text written about yitzias mitzrayim, put it on your arm, put it on your head. What's that about? It's opposite the heart, opposite the brain. Shehem mishkenos ha-machshava. They are the homes of thought, the seat of the mind. The heart and the brain are the seats of the mind. And that's the best place, directly opposite at your mind's address, you're going to place writing about, text about Yitzias Mitzrayim. V'hine nichtov parshas kadosh v'yakiviecha b'totafos v'pnei ha-mitzvah hazos. We include in the tefillin these two parshas. These are two of the four parshas. Why? Because of this mitzvah, shin stavinu behem lasus yitzias mitzrayim totafos be'einu. This week in Parshas Bo, we have a mitzvah to make a totafos out of yitzias mitzrayim. And then Parshas Shema v'ayim shamoa, the other two parshas, the two parshas that appear in Sefer Dvarim, the two parshas that also are our mezuzah and either min hatorah midrabanan and our kriyashma, they appear in the tefillin. Shenitzdavinu shenasa mitzvahs gamkein totafos. We have yitzias. Half of tefillin is yitzias mitzrayim, and half of tefillin is mitzvahs. That's what Shema and Vayim Shema are. Shema about the foundational mitzvahs of emuna, our belief in HaKadosh Baruch Hu and Avos Hashem, and then some of the practical mitzvahs that flow from that: Talmud Torah, tefillin, mezuzah, and then Vayim Shema is about mitzvahs in general and schar v'yonash. The fact that the terminology about tefillin appears both in these two parashas at the end of Bo, Kadosh Rekhi Viecha, as well as the end of the two parashas Shemayim from Shemoa, Lekacha Nukosim Gam Shteh Parashahein Letotafos. Those two parashas Shemayim and Shemoa also appear in the tefillin. Shehem, what do they include? The brief the brief thumbnail portrait of Shema Yom Shamoa, Mitzvah Hayichud, belief in one God, Zichron Kol HaMitzvahs VeOnshan Uscharon, and understanding we have to keep all the mitzvahs and that there's Schar V'Onish for mitzvahs. It's the briefest praises, the briefest synopsis, Vayim Shamoa, V'Chol HaShorish Be'Emuna, all of the root of our Emuna. All of our Emuna is built on what appears in Shema Yom Shema. You'll remember, Purim time, we had the chance to see Machlokas Rashi and Tosus. And when the Gemara says, and the Gemara talks about Sirtut, and says we derive the fact that you have to draw lines in the parchment in preparation for Ryan and Megillah, how do you know? Agzei Rashava, because the Megillah is referred to as Emes, the Rashava the Emes, that's the same as Amita Shel Torah. Just like Amita Shel Torah requires Sirta. What was Amita Shel Torah? So you'll remember that, that was Machlokas Rashi and Tosafos. Amita Shel Torah refers to Torah in general, Sefer Torah, or does it refer to specifically to what? Specifically, Tosafos said to, right? Shema V'Mishra, to Mezuzah. Because that's the core Sharashe Ha'amuna. Exactly as Rabban says here. Those two paragraphs, the two paragraphs of Shema and Shema, though that's the reason why they're in Mezuzah and Shema and Tefillin, the root of our Emuna. Okay. Then he begins to talk of Derech Kabbalah. So let's skip down to the very bottom of this second page, Shin Mem Hei. V'ata Omar Lecha Klal, four lines from the bottom. Now that we're spoken about Tefillin in particular, and begun to appreciate Tefillin, these are just a headpiece or more, it's tying language onto our heads, and the notion of, as Ramban pointed out, the two halves to Tefillin, that part of it is Ikari Amuna in general, in principle, and that's universally Ikari Amuna as they appear in Sefer Dvarim, Shema Ve'em Shema'a, and the other half of Tefillin is specific about Yitzias Mitzrayim, Kadosh Baruch Hu Yivyachah. So let's think about that in the context of many mitzvahs. I'm going to give you, Ramban says, a tool, a principle that you'll use to understand tefillin in particular and many mitzvahs in general. Omer lecha klal betam mitzvahs rabbos. Hinei me'eis hayos avodah zarah ba'olam. Ayin gimel stands for avodas giluvim. From the earliest history of avodah zarah mimei enosh, which Chazal understand begins, and Rambam quotes, begins hilchos avodah zarah, it began the days of Adam's grandson Enosh. Hechelu hadeos lehishtabesh be'emuna. From that point on, there began to be different types of theological confusion, different types of wrong ideas about the Ribono Shel Olam. And let's survey some of them. Mehem, one group, Kofrim Beker, deny the very existence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Total atheists. Orim ki olam kadmon. The universe is always here. Kachashu, there is no supernatural creator. Kachashu b'Hashem v'yomru lohu. They deny the existence of Ribono Shel Olam. That's one type of kfira. Another type of kfira, group two, mehem mechishin b'diyaso ha'pratis. There are those who accept the existence of a God out there somewhere who created the universe. But what's sometimes referred to as the watchmaker perspective, yeah. He set up the watch and set it running, and walked away. No longer, maybe there's a God, group two would say, the second group of Kofrim would say, maybe there's a God who created the world once upon a time, but he's no longer engaged in it. Eicha yeida ker v'yesh dey be'alyans. Does HaKadosh Baruch Hu know? Does he care? And then a third group, mehem sheyodu b'yidia, a third group of Kofrim who will agree that God is aware of what's going on, u'machishim b'hashkacha. He may know, but he doesn't take an interest. He's not involved. He's not engaged. The Asu Adam Kidigay Hayam. They'll think that people are like fish. Do humans have any idea how many fish there are in the sea? We're catching all the fish. If you tag them, you can track them. But Lamasa, the way human beings typically relate to fish, that's the way this third group of Kofrim would see a Kadosh Baruch Hu's relation to us. This third group of Kofrim think that Kadosh Baruch Hu is not involved, not overseeing our lives. Any man, onesh, or schar,
This third group thinks that Kadosh Baruch Hu won't reward, won't punish, doesn't care about our moral decisions. Azav Hashem is ours. They think that Kadosh Baruch Hu abandoned us.
So, three different flavors of kfira. Rejecting HaKadosh Baruch Hu's existence entirely, accepting HaKadosh Baruch Hu's existence but rejecting both Yediyah and Hashgacha, or accepting Borei Olam, what the Ramban will often refer to as Chidush Olam, the fact that the universe is a new thing, that it was created at a particular point in time. And the second group even accepts that God is aware of what's going on, but the third group, still denies that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is involved and cares. In other words, that what we do matters to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And obviously, the whole notion of a halachic system, the notion of mitzvahs, the notion that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has expectations for us, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu is rooting for us to succeed, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives us challenges, and that what we do morally matters, all of Torah mitzvahs is predicated on all of these three ideas. That there's a God who created us purposefully. There's a God who created us with purpose. And Kadosh Baruch Hu is aware of what we do, and that it matters. And that Kadosh Baruch Hu is involved. So says Ramban, when you think about these three major concepts, three of the Ikari Amuna in a row, if HaKadosh Baruch Hu takes particular interest in a group of people or an individual person, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu does things which are supernatural, he acts with this group in a way that contravenes the way things normally happen, contravenes science, yizbarer lakol, that demonstrates that all these three types of kvira are incorrect. Hamofes hanifla, here that you have to listen carefully to the nuance of the next few lines. Hamofes hanifla more sheyesh la'olam eloka. If there's a clear miracle that demonstrates, number one, that there is a God, mechadsho, who created the world, v'yodeya u'mashkiach v'yachol, and who continues to be aware of what's going on, continues to be involved, and is capable of intervening. That Kadosh Baruch Hu is omnipotent. Then he writes, as the Rambam writes in several letters as well, there's something further which is added. Ramban talks about, maybe we'll see after Pesach at some point, the Rambam's Igeres Tchias HaMesim. He talks about what makes a Nes special. And one of the points he makes is a point which the Ramban, a generation or two later, makes here as well. There's a big difference between something happening and something happening after having been predicted by a Navi. And we'll return to that. But let's see how he phrases that, and then I'm glad to take your question also. Kashayiyah, here the fourth line, page Shin Mem Vav. Kashayiyah ha-mofes ahu nigzar tchilam in pi Navi. Not only was there something miraculous that happened, but it was predicted in advance by a Navi, yizbarer mimenu od amitas ha-nevuah. That also demonstrates that nevuah exists. Not that every single person who claims to be a prophet is a prophet. Of course, there are plenty of claimants to nevuah who are false. But it demonstrates that nevuah does exist. Ki yidaber elokim es ha-adam. Now, Kadosh Baruch Hu will sometimes choose to communicate with humans, and he will sometimes reveal ideas to reveal the future at times to Nevi'im who are great Avdei Hashem. And that package together is the foundational package of Ikari Amunah for the whole Torah to work. A recognition that there's a Borei Olam who continues to be aware of human existence and human decisions and continues to be involved and is capable of engaging and does engage, and that he even will at times communicate with us. So that's the package that you need that's the package on which Torah Mitzvah is predicated. So he says, Ramban, That's why if you read, as Rabban says, if you go through Va'ira and Bo, if you have the time in the next week and a half to prepare for Pesach by opening the Chumash and reviewing the first couple of prakim of Chumash Shemos, that would be marvelous. The Rabban says, review those psukim with open eyes. And review those psukim with careful eyes. And there's so many psukim that we're used to hearing so often, we take a lot for granted. And we take a lot of phraseology, the language. We expect those psukim to be there. But look at it with open, careful eyes. The Kadosh Baruch Hu put words in the Chumash for a reason. You keep hearing by the Makos, by many of the Makos, Moshe, most of them are predicted in advance by Moshe Rabbeinu, as Ramban was just talking about. And very often, Moshe will not only say, here's what's going to happen, but either Moshe says to Paro, Kadosh Baruch Hu says to Moshe, or both, this Makkah is going to happen, Leman, so that you will know X, Y, Z, so that this will be clear. What's with all those Lemans? You've heard the psuk, we take it for granted. Ramban says, no. The Chumash is telling you something very important. The Chumash is telling you that the Makos happened for a variety of reasons, and one of the main purposes of the Makos was educational. One of the main purposes of the Makos was to teach and to clarify, to demonstrate different Ikari Emuna. L'chein yomar akosav b'mofsim, you'll hear by the Makos, l'man teda k'ani Hashem b'karav haaretz. One phrase is, you'll know that I am HaKadosh Baruch Hu in the midst of the land. What do you mean I'm God in the midst of the land? What does that mean that Hashem is b'karav haaretz? He says, I'll tell you what that means. That's another way of saying, l'horos al ha-hashkacha, that this Makkah will demonstrate hashkacha pratis, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is involved, continues to be involved in human history. Ki lo azavo solim mikrim, Kidatam. The Kadosh Baruch Hu didn't just create the world and walk away and no longer care and let things just play out as they will. And when we hear Leman Teda Ki LaHashem HaAretz, that the world is God's, that's LaHaros HaLachidosh. That means that Kadosh Baruch Hu created the universe. Ki Heim Shalo Shebera'a Me'ayin. The Kadosh Baruch Hu created the universe out of nothingness, ex nihilo. So it's his, and his in part means that it makes perfect sense. It makes perfect logical sense that Kadosh Baruch Hu, that we ought to follow Kadosh Baruch Hu's directives, not Kadosh Baruch Hu's instructions. One of the many reasons why that makes logical sense is, after all, our entire existence is because Kadosh Baruch Hu willed it. And yet another phrase that sounds familiar from the Makos: "Bavur teida ke'en kamoni b'chol aretz." That you'll know that there's none like me, none like HaKadosh Baruch Hu throughout the universe. What does that mean? L'haros ha'yecholas. That's a way of saying in biblical Hebrew that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is kol yachol, shu shalit b'kol. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is omnipotent. That he is, that no power can limit him. Ein ma'akev b'yado. Nothing can hold him back. Nothing can limit HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Ki b'chol zeh ha'yu ha'mitzvah machishim u'stopkin. All these Ikari Amunah, which he just enumerated earlier in discussing ideas, and now showed that the Psukim discuss them as lessons to be learned from the Makos, these were all Ikari Amunah which the Mitzvim either denied or about which they were agnostic, about which they were unsure. So in Cain, Ha'osos v'amosim ha'gedolim edim ne'emanim be'emunas ha'bori v'torah kula. You know what that means? That the Makos of Mitzrayim were not only an onesh to the Mitzrim, the Makos of Mitzrayim were teaching, demonstrating Ikari Emunah. By the way, this answers another major question that one could have on the whole unfolding of the Yetzias Mitzrayim process in Va'era and Bo, which is, if we take so much for granted because we've heard the story so many times, but one of the largest questions in Va'era and Bo is, why do you have to have 10 Makos? This is HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He can do whatever he wants. Right? He could have just taken us out. So no one to punish the Mitzvah. Right? And after all, in the Bris Ben Absarim, we spoke about this the other week, surprisingly, but the onesh of the Mitzrim is one of the apparently core aspects of the whole story, because in the Bris Ben Hapsarim, which is the blueprint for this whole story, it doesn't just, that Kadosh Baruch doesn't just tell Avraham Avinu, Klai Yisrael going to go into Galus, but then you're going to come out of Galus and get the Torah and get Eretz Yisrael, which is what you'd expect to hear. If we hear all of that plus, then come out of Mitzrayim, and I'm going to punish the Mitzrayim. Right, which is surprising. It's, you know, okay. HaKadosh Baruch Hu runs the world with Schar V'Onur, so Mimela, he's going to punish the Mitzrayim. Why is that such an incredibly important part? We were talking about before Purim, that the bracha of a Rav is Rivenu. From the Chasima, you see that sometimes the onish of the Rasha and the onish of our enemies is part and parcel of Geula. Here the Rabban is saying, not only were the Makos essential as the Don Anochi, as the justice and the punishment of the Mitzrim, but it was, Kadosh Baruch Hu could have punished them much more efficiently. You have to have 10 Makos. There can be many answers, but one of the answers is the Makos were not only a way of A, extracting the Jewish people from Mitzrayim, and B, punishing the Mitzrim, but C, teaching Ikari Amuna. And then the Rabban says, one second, but if my theory is correct, that the Makos have one of the essential objectives of the Makos was educational, to teach and to demonstrate Ikari Amuna, then the question is, you can't give the shiur once. He gave this year once. Exactly. Kids were absent. We were all out. We weren't at Yetzias Mitzrayim. Yetzias Mitzrayim happened over 3,000 years ago. I never saw the Makkah of Dam. You never saw the Makkah of Tzfardeya. We never saw the Makkah of Makkah's Bukharos. It's beautiful that the generation of Yotzei Mitzrayim got a very, very powerful shiur. The ultimate shiur from HaKadosh Baruch Hu and Ikar Yemuna. The Mamash got to see this. Beautiful. But we were all absent from shiur that day because it was more than 3,000 years before we were born. So how does that shiur help? Says the Ramban, there are two different solutions. HaKadosh Baruch Hu could keep giving the shiur. Right? You could be a 12th grade rabbi who teaches this Ramban every single year. Every year you have a new group of Talmidim. And every group of Talmidim needs to learn this Ramban. It's one of the most foundational Rambans. It's passage of Al Torah. So every year you give the same shiur. Right? We had a different twist, but you could keep teaching that shiur. So one thing Kadosh Baruch could have done is, every year, every generation, a new slate of Nisim and Mofsim that will demonstrate that he created the universe and that he continues to be powerful and involved and continues to know and to care. He could have done that, but he chose option two. Says the Ramban, "Uba'avur ki HaKadosh Baruch Hu lo yasa osumofiz b'chol dar le'enei kol rasha o'kofer." HaKadosh Baruch Hu chose not to repeat this league of Nisim every generation. So what's the other solution? How is the shiur from over 3,000 years ago going to help all the Jews who were absent? The answer is... Step two. The answer is, Yitzave osanu. Option number two, which HaKadosh Baruch Hu chose, is he did these Nisim once, that slate, that suite of Eser Makos and Kriyas Yamsuf and so on and so forth, that happened once, and then the next phase of the enterprise, it's on us. It's not HaKadosh Baruch Hu to keep doing these Nisim. It's on us to do the mitzvahs and to pass on the mitzvahs that pass on these memories and these impressions and these lessons. We have mitzvahs to remember Yetzias Mitzrayim, and thereby na'atik hadavar el banenu uvnehem livnehem. That will enable us to relay the stories and to relay the lessons from the stories. L'dor acharon. And that's why he says, then we understand halachic anomalies. So many. He gets so strict about these mitzvahs. Hechemir ma'od bin yazeh. We're so machmir on a halachic level. Chayiv karet b'achilas matzah. Azivas ha-pesach. You eat chametz on Pesach, karet. You don't bring a karet on Pesach, karet. A karet Pesach is one of the only two mitzvahs I say that has karet. Well, what's it all about? And, okay, see, you don't eat chametz on Pesach. Okay, a mitzvah. An Aveira. Good. Kares? Kares? Seems a little extreme. Kares is most of the Kresos are Arayos. Some of the Kresos are Beis HaMikdash related. Now, how does Chametz Pesach fit in there? The other I say is Mila, which actually also happens to be very intertwined with Karban Pesach and with Yetzias Mitzrayim. That was one of the national, the national Bris Mila. So how do you make sense of this? That number one, we're so HaKadosh Baruch Hu so machmir, and there are so many. Hitzrich shenichtov kol mashen nira eleinu ba'oso sumofsim ayadenu ve'enenu. And we have the mitzvah to write it. We have very few mitzvahs of writing. We have tefillin, and he says lichtov oso ola pischei habata b'mezuzos. We have the mitzvah of mezuzah as well, which is a somewhat difficult line in Ramban, because mezuzah actually does not include kaddish right to viecha. Mezuzah only has shema v'em shamoah. V'shenazkezeh befinu b'boku v'erev. We have a mitzvah of zechiras yetzias mitzrayim. Kemo sha'amru emes v'yatziv doraisa. V'mashar kasul v'mantizke v'yizom tetzchen eretz mitzrayim kol yimei chayecha. Pashup shat zechiras yetzias mitzrayim, saying the last pasuk of Ayomer, is a mitzvah doraisa. And that's something we discuss at the Seder, that apart from the annual mitzvah of the God to Levincha, the annual mitzvah of Sipri Yetzias Mitzrayim, we have a twice daily mitzvah, and that's what the Tanaim are debating, once daily, twice daily, of Leman Tizchit Don Tizchit Yetzias Mitzrayim, Zechir Yetzias Mitzrayim, which we fulfill with the last pasuk of Ayomer. And making a sukkah, Nasa Sukkah B'chal Shana. Sukkah is also Zechir Yetzias Mitzrayim. After all, it reminds us of how HaKadosh Baruch Hu took care of us after we left. So many mitzvahs. Zeichet Tzias Mitzrayim. He says, you might wonder, why do we have so, okay, one or two mitzvahs, Zeichet Tzias Mitzrayim. So many. So many mitzvahs. Such a diverse array of mitzvahs. And we're so machmir in some of them. And there's so many different modalities. We write, we do, we live inside, we eat. So much of halacha is invested in Tzias Mitzrayim. Okay, it's important to know where you came from. But it seems exaggerated. Ravan says, it seems exaggerated. Once you start thinking about it, you might notice it seems exaggerated. And then when you understand the objective, it's not just to remember our history. It's to remind us of those Ikari Emuna that part of our history taught us. Then all of a sudden, everything fits into place. Hakol lios lanu v'chol hadaros edus b'mofsim shol yishtakhu. We need to have a host of very physical mitzvahs, tangible mitzvahs, and lots of different types of tangible mitzvahs. Have to do with how we eat, and have to do with what we live in, and have to do with how things we wear on ourselves, and things that we write. So many different types of mitzvahs shol yishtakhu, to keep these memories alive. These memories which are not only historical, but theological. To keep us from devolving into kofrim, who deny HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And he has such a poetic line. Hakona mezuzah bezuzah echad. You buy a mezuzah for a zuz. A couple of dollars, $20, $40. How much does a mezuzah cost? $60, $80. U'kidah bepischo. The simple act of putting and buying a mezuzah and putting on a door, v'nis kavein be'in yana. If you live life thoughtfully, you didn't just do the mitzvah, but you thought about what it means, kvar hoda b'chidush ha'olam yidiyas habor v'ashkachasav. You know what you just did? You're just reinforcing a whole raft of yisodos ha'emunah. The creation of the world by HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The fact that HaKadosh Baruch Hu knows what's going on. The fact that he is involved and cares. And nevuah. You just accepted all the Ikari Emunah. Plus, in addition to belief, there's a midah also that's being moved forward here, which is Hoda Bechesed Shechesed Habore Gadol Mo'ol Osei Ritzono. It's also a sense of gratitude of being Makar Chazdei Hashem. That Kadosh Baruch Hu took care of us. We did very little to deserve it. And the Kaddish Baruch Hu gave us freedom. Hotziyanami also Abdus Lecheris. The Kavod Gadol is Chus Avoseim, Achafetzim, B'Yir HaShemom. In awareness that our ancestors wanted Yir HaShem. Careful language. They were, as the Gemara says, Halalu Ovdav Ozar, Lalu Ovdav Ozar. They were still very enmeshed in Egyptian practice, but they were chafetzim b'yirat shemo. They wanted to grow. They wanted to be close to Ribbono Shel Olam. And the Rambam says, that's why Chazal tells, you've got to take every mitzvah seriously, even the mitzvahs that seem like a one-off, no big deal, it's not such an important mitzvah. Chazal say that would be a big mistake to take the attitude that mitzvah is not so important. You know why? Every mitzvah is precious. Every mitzvah is to be cherished. You know why? In part because every mitzvah is an opportunity for us to be more aware, more mindful of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and for us to be more grateful to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Let's stop for questions. And then we'll read the last couple of lines, the next movement of Ramban. Again, we read it just to recap. We already saw he's addressing himself to why it is that we have so many mitzvahs that are Eidos Yetzias Mitzrayim, and so many different types of mitzvahs that are Eidos Yetzias Mitzrayim, and some of them are so serious and severe. And the answer is because Yetzias Mitzrayim was not only a historical event that practically, politically helped us, it was a series of events which also taught us so much about HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so many important deeds about HaKadosh Baruch Hu that are the foundational basis for a life of Torah mitzvahs. So the all these mitzvahs keep alive not only historical awareness that this story happened, but the Kari Amunah that flow from that, and the sense of gratitude and relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu that flows from that. If you like, you talk the first two psukim of Shema. Shema Yisrael, Shema Kesh, Shema Chad is what we believe about HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and V'yahavta is a sense of caring and emotional engagement. We know HaKadosh Baruch Hu is involved with us, and we love Him, we care about Him, we want to move that, we're grateful, and we want to move that relation, do what we can do to move that relation forward. Yeah, you've been waiting very patiently.
Can you answer the question of why there are 10
Ma'akov? So he didn't phrase, he did not formulate that question directly. I think what he's implying is that different makos may have stressed different Ikari Amuna. In other words, what he does point out, and the following would be a good project to work on over the course of Pesach, if someone wants to take it on, something I've thought about in the past, but I've never actually rolled up my sleeves and done the work. Rabban points out that over the course of the makos, as we saw, there are different psukim that highlight different Ikari Amuna. Here we have, but this maka, the Torah says, you'll learn from here, Hashkachas Hashem. That maka, the Torah says, you learn from this maka, Chidush Olam. If this maka you learn, Yecholas Hashem. So it would be interesting to figure out why particular Ikari Amuna appear in conjunction with particular makas. Whether something, this, the Tzvardeya particularly highlighted this idea, and Aro, what's the connection between particular makos and particular ideas? I'm not sure what it is. I would be fascinated if you discover something. But it is clear that by different makos, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is highlighting different Ikari Amuna. It sounds like we need a lot of makos. A, it could be different makos highlighted different issues, and there were a lot of different ideas that needed to be taught. And also there's something else, which is even without coming on to maybe different makos taught different lessons, even if they're all teaching the same lesson, but educationally speaking, sometimes you emphasize, sometimes you repeat for emphasis. Sometimes you'll reformulate something and come at it from a different angle and give an additional example, give a different mashal in order to make sure the point is really driven home. That's understood more fully, or just that we got it. You heard it once, maybe it won't stick as much. You hear it three times, five times, from different angles, different perspectives, different presentations. Now it's really going to sink in deeper and be more memorable. So once you see the makas as an educational enterprise, so then all of a sudden, the fact that Kadosh Baruch Hu repeated things and repeated the same idea in different ways, he presents the idea with Dam, then he presents the idea with Tzvardeya. Once it's educational, it already makes more sense. It should be noted, by the way, once the Ramban has gotten us thinking about Yetzias Mitzrayim and the Makos, and certainly, I should say, as HaKadosh Baruch Hu could have taken that with any Makos at all, but that certainly wouldn't have driven the same point home. But once you see the Makos at Yetzias Mitzrayim as an educational process, HaKadosh Baruch Hu teaches us Ikar Yamuna, you know, that changes the way we look at our own mitzvah of this Seder. We, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, gave us a mitzvah every Leil Tezvav Nisan to sit around with the family and tell the story and thereby transmit Ikar Yamuna. The first Seder, who ran the first Seder, according to Rabban? Rabban Shalom. HaKadosh Baruch Hu did the Makos. HaKadosh Baruch Hu did Makos Bachoros. HaKadosh Baruch Hu performed Kriyas Yamsuf to convey Ikar Yamuna to Klal Yisrael. And then, from the next year and on, we're supposed to review that story and pass on Ikar Yamuna. So it makes Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim into one of those mitzvahs, which is also Valachta Bedrachav. We're, by running a Seder, by conveying Ikar Yamuna to Jews, to ourselves and to the other people around the table, through the story of Yetzias Mitzrayim, we are doing what HaKadosh Baruch Hu did. And when you think, like, there are certain mitzvahs that the Torah describes as, HaKadosh Baruch Hu did it, we should do it too. And the Torah said, HaKadosh Baruch Hu was Shoveis, we should keep Shabbos. The Gemara says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu also wears tefillin. However that means in divine terms, but it certainly means that through a human wearing of tefillin, through a human keeping Shabbos, we are, in addition to the mitzvah per se, it's also a mitzvah lachta bedrachav, where we're imitating the divine model. So Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim also, because the first Seder was run by HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He actually did these things, and thereby taught us Ikar Yamuna. And from the next year and on, for the last 3.5 millennia or so we have been stepping into the divine shoes, so to speak, and v'alachta b'drachah, we've been emulating the divine model of using the story of Yetzias Mitzrayim, the Makos of Kriyas Yamsuf, to continue to pass on Ikar Yamuna. More questions? Yeah, Nadav.
The Rambam said that Zechariah Yetzias Mitzrayim was a way to prevent us from devolving into Kira.
Right.
I feel like there's kind of a disconnect there.
Mm-hmm.
If someone says, I don't believe in Torah Judaism, you say, but the Torah says Zechariah Mitzrayim, and then you're going to go, all my questions are answered.
You're asking how these mitzvahs prove anything.
How is Zechariah Mitzrayim a solution for the problem that's posing?
Right, that's a great question. I think the answer is that solving a different problem. In other words, this is not someone has a question about faith, so the answer to your question is these mitzvahs. It's not that the answer to your question is these mitzvahs. These mitzvahs are the solution to things, and nothing is a foolproof solution because people have bechira chafshes. But this is a powerful way to make sure that this emunah doesn't get eroded. It doesn't answer particular logical questions I could ask. It keeps the memory alive so that the emunah persists. And it opens conversations, which hopefully is part of what happens throughout the year and at the Seder in particular, that build emunah.
Is there an emotional difficulty or an intellectual difficulty?
Yesh v'yesh. That's a great question. Yesh v'yesh. Sometimes it's pure intellectual. Often it's an intellectual struggle born out of an emotional matrix. That's often the case. As Rabbi Chanan points out in a very famous essay, these mitzvahs vastly build awareness. You're thinking about fear in terms of, I have a question. How could it be if God exists? How could X, Y, and Z be the case? Right? That's not so much. That's not what he's addressing. He's just addressing something more basic. Now, how did Jewish belief survive for over 3 millennia? Not, this is a particular logical question, how you answer that. That's great, and let's talk about those logical questions. But this is addressing a different problem. It would just, the problem of it would just erode, it would just get lost. And how do you keep a community attached to, aware of and attached to ideas in a very real way over the course of over 3,000 years? And the answer is, you have a whole system of mitzvahs that keep you. Hey, if you happen to have a particular question, so let's talk about that question. But this is addressing a larger problem. Yeah.
How did the nation generation, the greatest lesson of all time, right, with El Makos and Arsikai, they sing so many times, the Dagon's off, and Rock, and constantly Moshe, right? It feels like it sort of undermines the whole point of the kind of sense.
You would have wished that, you're saying you, one would have wished that if the Dardea, the Dor Yotzei Mitzrayim, saw these lessons, you would have wished that they would have lived properly all the way throughout. Instead, we see that so many times, they tripped up. That is true. As a matter of fact, we see that according to many opinions in Chazal, most Jews didn't even leave Mitzrayim. Right? Human beings have bechira chafshas. That is absolutely the case. People have the opportunity to make good choices or bad choices. Kadosh Baruch Hu will equip us with vehicles and tools to be able to do the right thing. And Kadosh Baruch Hu will equip us with challenges that allow us and even will encourage us to do the wrong thing. And people have free will. And Kadosh Baruch Hu gives us nisyonos that we can handle. Kadosh Baruch Hu won't give us nisyonos that are beyond our capacity to succeed at. But Kadosh Baruch Hu also won't fill our lives with nisyonos that are so easy for us that we don't need any capacity to succeed at. This goes back to the beginning of Mesillas Yesharim. The design objective of Olam Hazeh in particular was to be an Olam HaNisayon. So, by definition, the Kadosh Baruch Hu is equipping the Dor Yotzei Mitzrayim with this sort of clarity of emunah. He also set up nisyonos for them that were real for them. It's not unlikely that those nisyonos would have been staggeringly overwhelming for us. For them, these were doable but challenging nisyonos. And sometimes they succeeded, and sometimes they failed. It should be noted, we hear about the failures in Chumash. We don't hear about most of the successes. Over the course of 40 years, there were certain episodes where much of Klal Yisrael messed up. That means, it should be noted, as Yirmiyahu points out, for the bulk of 40 years, Klal Yisrael were passing with flying colors, moving through the Midbar with patience and with emunah, and every once in a while there were eruptions of chet. So there were eruptions of chet, and our Torah is honest and encourages us to be honest, and we don't whitewash mistakes that we made. We face up to them. But at the same time, there were mistakes, and there were tremendous chatam. There were also tremendous successes. So yeah, it's not foolproof. By design, it's not foolproof. A perfect God created, as Elimelech Goldberg puts it, a perfect God created an imperfect world perfectly. Kadosh Baruch Hu calibrated the universe to provide us with, to provide each person with nisyonos that are at his level. So, having been equipped with such incredible insight into emunah, Kadosh Baruch Hu then situated Kal Yisrael for nisyonos that were challenging for them, some of which they failed. And now let's come back to complete the final lines of this Rambam. He's going to take these ideas to the next level. We saw that he was talking about the mitzvos of Eidos to Yetzias Mitzrayim as a way of reinforcing our emunah and as a way of reinforcing our sense of awareness of HaKadosh Baruch Hu and gratitude to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Awareness of Chasdei Hashem. He says, Kavanas kol ha-mitzvos. The overall objective of mitzvah should not min be'elokeinu, to reinforce our belief in HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and no day love shehu brado, not only to intellectually believe in HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but have an emotional sense of gratitude and connection to the God who created us. Vehi kavanas ha-yitzira. That's the purpose of creation, is to enable us to have the opportunity to build that type of relation with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We don't understand any other objective for the creation of man. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is interested in human beings having the opportunity to know HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to be grateful to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And Kavanas, fascinating line. Kavanas Romus Hakol Batfilos v'Kavanas Bote Knesios. The purpose of raising your voice in davening, the purpose of a shul, the schus of tfilas harabim, is sheyiyeh livnei adam makom yiskapsu yodu lakel shebram. v'him tziyam, to give human beings the opportunity, and Jews in particular, a place to gather as a group and to, as a group, thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu for allowing us to exist, and to publicize this. V'yom lefanecha lefanav b'yosecha anachnu. Mikan atalamish etfila tzricha kol. Fascinating line, sort of like a sidebar in the Ramban. To recognize makos for ikari amuna, to recognize makos for hakaras habore and chesed habore. And he says this comes up all the time. How do you daven? What do you do with a shul? What do you do with your voice? To physically, tangibly give voice to the not to, to the idea that HaKadosh Baruch Hu created us, that makes it more than just a dry idea. It becomes an emotional engagement. Fascinating idea. And then, let's turn back to the core axis of this Ramban and the crowning idea. He says, this isn't the last step. We're only up to the second to last step. To have all these mitzvahs that remind us of all these great nisim that Kadosh Baruch Hu did for us. And we learned that Kadosh Baruch Hu knows and cares and is involved in our lives, and it builds it forms the matrix, the foundation for beginning to build an emotional relation with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But he says it doesn't stop with Yitzias Mitzrayim. U'min anisim here on the final column. Min anisim agedolam mefursamim. This following line is a very, very, very famous line. Min anisim agedolam mefursamim. From the great, famous nisim geluyim, absolute contraventions of science and nature, Ada Moda Benisim Hanistarim. A person comes to recognize the hidden miracles. The point of revealed miracles, of Chazar and Yetzias Mitzrayim, is to notice the little nisim that weave their way through our lives in obvious ways in which HaKadosh Baruch Hu was involved in our lives, in the inobvious ways. Shehem Yesod HaTorah Kula. That's the real foundation of a Torah life. It's not just the razzle-dazzle great moments of Yetzias Mitzrayim. The point of noticing Yetzias Mitzrayim is to get us to train us to open our eyes to notice that Kadosh Baruch Hu is involved in our lives in little everyday ways. She'ein la'adam chelik b'toras Moshe Rabbeinu. You're not going to be a Jew connected to Torah. You're not going to have a share in Torah. You're not at the theological table. Adje na'min b'chol dvareinu mikrein shekulam nisim. Until you recognize that our lives are filled with miracles. Ein behem teva u'minhago shel olam bein b'ram bein b'yachid. HaKadosh Baruch Hu has hashgacha pratis. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is involved in our lives. Yes, HaKadosh Baruch Hu created patterns of physics and chemistry. Those are creatures of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants the world to be rhythmic by his divine decision, and he continues to be engaged and involved in our lives through the patterns of nature. Im yasa mitzvahs yatzlichenu sechero. Im yavar aleim yachrisenu ancho. You do mitzvahs, you get tzchar. You do averis, you get onesh. Hakol b'gzeres elin kasher eskar tikvar. As he has discussed previously. Tells you in the bottom, look at Lech Lecha, look at Parshas Va'era. In other words, every once in a long while, HaKadosh Baruch Hu intervened in our lives by suspending the laws of nature. Kriyas Yamsuf, Makas Bachoros, Makas Choshech. Those are rare events. Those are watershed events. But all the time, without suspending laws of nature, HaKadosh Baruch Hu continues to be involved. And so many things in our lives could play out in so many different natural ways. And things might work out a certain way, might work out a different way. No nisim geluyim, but nisim nistarim galore. And to understand and recognize that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is involved, their divine fingerprints, if you know to look for them in everyday life, Yisparsimu anisim anistarim be'inyan harabim kasha yavo b'yudei haTorah b'in habrachas haklalos. You'll see, sometimes you'll notice a nisim nistarim, the nisim that are not suspensions of nature, when you see the Torah's promises, brachas and klalos. What happened when Klal Yisrael were doing mitzvah, what happened when Klal Yisrael were doing others? Kamosha amara kasuv Yamru kol goyim amel sashem kachal aretz azos. Al asher azvu es bris Hashem elokei avosam. It sometimes becomes clear in the way that things play out on the public, in the public sphere, and it, we can learn to notice it, even the way things play out in our own personal lives. To open our eyes to notice Hashgacha Pratis on a day-to-day basis. To notice HaKadosh Baruch Hu in everyday life, that's the real goal. He says the goal is not the great razzle-dazzle moments. The razzle-dazzle moments, the Yetzias Mitzrayim, the Eser Makas, and the Kiryas Yamsuf, that recognizing that is a very important spiritual accomplishment, meant to then vault us to an even greater religious accomplishment, which is noticing HaKadosh Baruch Hu in everyday lives. That's the real gain, the real accomplishment would be to notice that to walk out of a Pesach not only with renewed appreciation and deeper belief in the Nisim of Pesach, but thereby noticing with our eyes more open to notice HaKadosh Baruch Hu in the small ways. And that, he says, that's the ultimate goal of all these mitzvahs, of wearing tefillin every day, of Ani Hashem Elokecha Asher Hoceiti Eitzchem Me'aretz Mitzrayim twice a day, of mezuzah, the real goal of a sukkah, the real goal of a pidyon haben, the real goal of all the mitzvahs that we mitzvahim have the opportunity to enjoy. Halvai, we should be able to enjoy all of them, not just most of them. Next Friday night, the matz and the mar, halvai the karm pesach, the sipur yitzias mitzrayim. The goal of all that is not only to be mechazik emuna yitzias mitzrayim, but to mechazik emuna in daily hashkacha pratis. Rambam points out that often the thing, Rambam points out in a different context, that, human nature is such that we often get more excited about things that are more flashy. Even though, as Rambam pointed out here, it's the things which are flashy have their role, certainly, Esther Makas, but it's often the things which are less flashy and more frequent that are that much more important in shaping us. And that's exactly what the Ramban says here. The goal of a Pesach, the goal of the Zeichus Yisias Mitzrayim, is to come to recognize the soft fingerprints of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Nisim Nestarim. If you can do that, then you could grow to be a very, very, very deeply religious person. And you grow to be you open yourself up for incredible growth in Yerushalayim, and incredible potential in terms of Avas Hashem in relation to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the more HaKadosh Baruch Hu becomes a constant presence in our lives. So this is, as I said before, this is one of the most famous lines in the Ramban. Both the notion of seeing the Nisim of Mitzrayim as educating us in Emunah, and that explains the number and range and diversity and severity of the mitzvahs of Zecher Yetzias Mitzrayim, the Adios. And then this closing line, that the recognize that Kadosh Baruch Hu through Nisim Giluyim is not the ultimate. That's the penultimate. The ultimate is recognize that Kadosh Baruch Hu in the Nisim Nestarim. That's a truly great spiritual accomplishment. Taka Bizocha, to walk out of a Pesach with Nachayan Tefarayim, to walk out of Pesach with Hashem, with a greater and deeper awareness and connectedness to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Ken Yiratzin.